John chapter 13, we've been teaching through the book of John, and I always try to do a little review if I can, so I'm going to go quickly. You guys have to listen real fast because I'm getting started real late. So this is verse 33 of John 13. If you have an outline, it's printed on your outline. It says, little children. I like that. He's not talking to kids. I happen with that. I was praying for somebody the other day, and I said, Lord, bless this young lady. She says, I'm 52. It's young to me. But that's what Jesus is saying. Little children, speaking to those who've been following him for 3.5 years. I'm with you a little while longer. He's not kidding about that. It's a very short time. And you'll seek me, as I said to the Jews, and now also I say to you, where I'm going, you can't come. And we'll find out here in a minute. Peter thinks that doesn't apply to him. But where I'm going, you can't come. But a new commandment I give you. So I'm going to go do what I need to do that you can't do. And I'm going to give you something to do that only you can do. And you're going to do it in my absence. That seems strange. Why wouldn't you? Because they're really going to be able to, they really need to be able to do this in his absence. So he gives the new commandment, John 13, 34, and 35. He says, here's what I want you to do. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. I want you guys to care about each other the way you see me caring about you. And the way you see me caring about you flows out of the way that my Father and I care about each other. And that's how I want you to do it. By what? By you loving each other the way I have loved you. This is how everybody else on the planet is supposed to know that you are mine. And we do just about everything else. And, you know, this is, I got to be careful because we're recording this. But if I say something I shouldn't say, just don't hear it, okay? That'll make it easier. But for a long time, discipleship has had the emphasis of discipline. And of course, that's part of it. It's a learner under discipline. But discipline was never the power that Jesus sent to save the world. It's faith working through love. That's what he says. This is how it works. And when you love each other in these extravagant, supernatural ways, people know that didn't come from these clowns. That came from him. Are we okay? And so he says, you got to get this. This is, it's not just sound theological thinking, although that's good. It's not just accurate doctrine. That's good. But lots of people have stuff like that. What they don't have is the power of God that changes people from the inside out. And that comes from the love of the Father flowing through sinful people, which is the design and the desire of the Lord. He says, well, why would he use sinful people? It's the only kind he's got. That's all there is. That's all there is. The only other one that could do that is saying he's going someplace else. So you got to understand when he's saying this is so central. It's most important to have humility. Humility, we believe, is placing value where God places value. God places the highest value. He's telling these guys just before he dies and leaves, he said, you got to have the love of God in you. And it's got to be towards each other like it has been coming from me to you. What is that? That's the church. That's the church. As wonderful as a good yard sale is to underwrite a missions trip, that's not the church. It's what the church does sometimes to be the church. But do you see what I'm saying? It's not how you dress. It's not necessarily the ordinances. It's not necessarily the liturgy, although all those things can have that. He says, it's like this. There's a way of loving people that didn't come from you. And that's what I want you to have. That's what you've seen from me. It's kind of blown you away. That's why the Bible says law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. It takes grace and mercy to pull this off. right? It takes incredible forgiveness, both to receive it and then to be able to give it. And to live this way. And he says, so don't miss this. This is how other people will know you're the real deal. And you know, the world's having a hard time figuring out whether or not we're the real deal. Fact is, the vote's in by a lot of people, and it's not particularly positive. So what do we need to do? We need to get this right. We need to get this right. And that's what Jesus is telling them. By this, all men, I like that, that's everybody everywhere, will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. And if you do, and you mess up, and your doctrine's not quite right, he'll love you enough to correct it. Amen. Hello? But you know, you got to feel love sometime to get corrected. You ever get corrected and not feel love? Story of my life. But he's saying, you can get corrected. You can get directed because you know I'm out for the best for you. That is better than the best you can imagine. He didn't say all that, but that's what it means. So then Peter says, verse 36, where are you going? Jesus said, well, where I go, you can't follow me now. You will later. And Peter said, Lord, why can't I follow you right now? Right now is when I want to follow you. I have an idea. I have a plan. And Jesus is saying, yeah, I kind of do too. And he says, I'll even lay down my life for you. And Jesus said, will you? Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times. So part of the wonder of salvation is that we get to know him, and then he helps us know us as thoroughly as he knows us. And he knows how to do it without you getting frustrated, disgusted, or quit. Because don't you ever get tired of being you? If you were me, you'd be tired of being you. And sometimes you want to either give up or walk away, or this is too hard, or why doesn't it, when it should have happened last Thursday and it didn't, I prayed that it didn't. And Lord knows us so perfectly. He said, oh, I know there's part of that. There's part of you that's really true. You want to die for me. But there's another part of you here that would do anything to escape any discomfort or threat that might bring on you. Even if you have to muscle up against a 13-year-old slave girl and say, I don't know that guy, which is what he did. And so this ability to have both of those things going on at the same time is called humanity. Because part of him is, I'll give you everything, except don't let me cause me to meet trouble or give me any problems. Because he denied him three times. Why? Was that punishment? No, it was to bring Peter to an end of depending on himself so he could depend on the one who had a role for him that was beyond anything he could ever imagine. Are we doing okay? And so Jesus knew Peter was human. Peter didn't know Peter was human. He knew God was God, but he kind of knew Peter being human. That was kind of missed him. He's like, oh, here, you know, I'll do whatever it takes until it costs me something. I'm being a little hard on him, but he's not here to argue. So. But do you understand what I'm saying? This is the human picture. This is what we're like. Are both of those things possible to be in your mind at the same time? Absolutely. How many votes are coming in? Who's winning? And Peter thought, oh, for sure. No, I'm the man. I got the keys, Jack. walked on the water. You can't depend on that stuff. You have to depend on him. If he said you can't go now, then now's not the time for you to go. And you ought to be happy that he's saving you from what you would do if you went and got creamed. Huh? So this is how John 14 starts, is these things having been said. And, you know, you got to feel sorry for Peter, because here he is making this bold statement, and now Jesus said, oh, no. You got more deny in you than die in you. Yeah. What a tough gig that is. And then you can imagine the other 11 are going, well, I knew that about him. I don't know how he didn't know that. But, you know, you're right. You think that didn't happen? I can't prove it, but They too were human. So John 14 starts now. Jesus says, and what he's doing here, he's answering Peter's question from verse 36, okay? So this isn't some random comment. He says, where are you going? Why? Where are you going that I can't go? And he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I'd have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. So I'm going to go fix something for you. That's where I'm going. He didn't explain there were a few doors he was going to go through. But he said, I'm going to do something for you that you can't do for you. And Peter's thinking, well, what can you do that I can't do? And that's really kind of what he's thinking. And would you mind coming? And I didn't know whether I was going to ask you to do this till now, so. Recently, we had I was speaking from John chapter 14 at a memorial service. And Ann had, well, I'll let her tell you what she had. You got to eat it.
Don't let your heart be troubled. So, teeny tiny bit of background of the past 10 years. Our family has gone through trouble after trouble after trouble after trouble after trouble. The kind where you go, okay, no, that's not right. Your friends are saying, that happened to you? Okay. So, the last few weeks, I was in a place where I was saying to God, really for the first time in all of this, what's next? There's got to be something next. It hasn't stopped yet. So I came to a funeral, Sharon Williams' brother, and you wouldn't expect the Lord to speak to you at a funeral, but Pastor John read that verse, don't let your heart be troubled. And then he said, but we all have troubles. But the Lord doesn't want us to remain troubled. So, as clearly as I can say it to you, those words came out of his mouth and landed right here. They landed right here. I felt it. And the Lord said, you don't need to remain troubled. You don't need to worry about what's next. And then later on, as he's sharing verses, he goes to Romans and he says, reads the verse where it says, the Lord says, my ways are unsearchable. Again, it landed on me, and the Lord said, that's the exclamation mark on the first one. You don't need to remain troubled because you can't figure it out. My ways are unsearchable. There's nothing that I would ever let you go through that I can't redeem and use for my purposes and use to change eternity. You do not need to remain troubled.
Thank you, Ed. I'd never used those two verses together at a funeral before. And I just want to be like really, I knew Ann was here, I could see her, but I was trying to focus on ministering to the family. So I wasn't speaking to Ann, but the Holy Spirit was. I love it when that happens. And so what I'm trying to say is I know there must be people here today that are fighting some of those same things. And what Jesus says to him, he just says to Peter, you're going to deny me. And now he's fixing to tell him, I'm going to go die. I mean, this is tough stuff. And he says, don't permit your heart to stay troubled. Do not allow your heart to stay troubled. The enemy is going to come. Circumstances are going to come. The world, the flesh, and the devil, and your humanity is going to come. And there's going to be broadcast to you reasons why you should feel agitated, upset, unsettled. That's what that word means. And the Holy Spirit's going to come along and go, just like that. That's what he did for her. I'm thinking, that's so cool. Because I didn't know. I was just saying it. It's what it says. But I could tell something was happening. So I kind of leaned in on them. And I just want to pray for us, just right here. Lord, it's so hard to know. But if you read John chapter 14, verse 1, he says, do not let your heart to stay in a condition of being agitated, unsettled, and troubled, which means our volition is in here somewhere. So we want to receive from you today. If you say we don't have to stay troubled, then you are the chief untroubler. And we ask for you to dispatch angelic help this morning, even at this moment, and release the control of trouble from our hearts. Dissipate the agitation, the unsettledness in people's hearts. Everybody that's here, everybody that's live streaming, and people that you're praying for, I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you would empower us to make the choice. Lord, I choose not to be agitated and troubled. Would you stand up in the boat and say, peace, be still. I don't have to totally understand, but I do need to understand that you do. And you got this. Jesus says to his followers, don't let your heart be troubled. Well, how do I do that? Believe in God and believe in me. There's nothing more profound than that. No, believe in God. Believe all the things you've heard me say about him. Believe all the encounters you've had with him. Believe everything you've read about him. And believe in me. I'm here, he's here because I'm here. Because I'm in him and he's in me. Okay? And so the one you need to speak about and speak to and entrust yourself to says, don't let yourself be troubled like that. He didn't say there's nothing to be troubling. There's boatloads of stuff that to be troubled by. But he says, I understand it. You've done something where you can take me out of that mess and put me in a large place. Take me out of the vice. Let me be able to go, Lord, I don't know, but I know you know. And I know you, and you know me. Level ground. Back to sea level. I've told the Lord, that's what I just told you a number of times. I'll know. But I know you know. And I've said this. I know that's supposed to be enough. Would you cause that to be enough to me? Would you empower that to be enough for me? And then you know what? You let enough soak right into you. I'm taking a little more time on this than I originally thought, but this is so significant because this is what Jesus is telling these guys. Just before the worst time of their life, they're going to spend 3 really bad days. Some worse for some. Peter's 3 horrible days. And this is about to come on them. And he goes, if you don't lose your hold on me, and if you recognize I haven't lost my hold on you, then you don't have to have a troubled heart. You can be living in a troubled mess, but it doesn't have to dictate the details. That's strong stuff. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there's another place. In my Father's house. It says, in my Father's house. So what's he doing? He's reinitiating the validity, the value, and the reality of the Father. You're not in this alone. And Jesus says, I'm not in it alone. In my Father's house, where the real reality is, there's lots of dwelling places. And I know it kind of shoots that, you know, if you grew up like in a Baptist church or something like that. I didn't. I grew up in a Methodist church. They didn't have the songs about da 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 ma hill mountain over the hilltop mansion. Yeah, that thing. There's a hymn like that. Several songs about mansions. And that's just a bad interpretation of the language. It really means dwelling places. But you know what? I don't care if it's a duplex. If he goes to prepare a place for me and he knows me thoroughly and everything in heaven is perfect, that ain't going to be a bad place. In fact, it's going to have everything that I possibly could imagine is wonderful and all sorts of wonderful things that I couldn't imagine. That's, yeah. And I think I wrote in your outline, I meant to if I didn't, that he's the Lord of hosts. So he's some kind of host to fix a place for you. I did write that down, I remember now. You think about that. Well, who's the host? The Lord of hosts. The guy that runs everything. And he's your realtor. I mean, like the real realtor. I'll preach it now. But you understand what I'm saying? He said, get this, guys. I'm going to go fix a spot for you. It's got your name on it. He checked the book. You're in the book. There's reservations. I could prove it to you in Peter's letter. There's reservations. And he knows that you want a table right by the stage. Right? Or you're an introvert and you really want one back here. Every seat has a perfect view. I got no idea about the big board, but it's something. You know, right? He says, guys, don't get all troubled by what isn't happening here that you can't see. Or what is happening here that makes you want to vomit. Recognize, believe in me. Believe in me. I got this. I get this. And there's a bigger, better story. Bigger, better place. And I go to prepare a place for you. He said, now, if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and get you. That's what it says. I will come and receive you unto myself. Salvation isn't unto a plan. Salvation is unto a person. Amen. Never lose that. Is there a plan of salvation? If that makes you happy, yes. But the plan of salvation is Jesus. Yeah. And relationship with him. Yeah. And he says, I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to come back, and we're going to work on this. We're all going to be the same place together. The Bible says we will live together forever with him. Amen. Now, he's not explaining all that to them at this moment, but he says, I'm going, but I'm coming back. Yeah. Wow. Now, he was smart enough not to give them the itinerary. If you know what I mean. But he says, I'm going to go again and receive you to myself that where I am, we can all be, and you know the way where I'm going. And now this is really messing. Thomas has got to say, Peter's saying nothing. But Thomas said, Lord, if we don't know where you're going, how can we possibly know the way? Good logical opinion. And Jesus said to him, I'm the way, and I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And if you found me, you found it. Yeah. Right? And I think that kind of blew him away. And he's saying, he said, believe in God, believe in me. So, I got to hurry. Acts chapter 4, I'm going to read. This just tells us who he is. This is Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by the builders, but now which has become the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. He said, believe that. Believe that. Hold on to that. fact, is the language there, it says, he says, hold firmly, God. Hold firmly, God. So, believe in God. Jesus said, believe in me. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 said, for by him, Jesus, all things were created both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together, even the stuff that looks like it's fallen apart. He is also the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. Believe in God, believe in him. Colossians 2, verse 6, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so also walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Man, when you're overflowing with gratitude, it's hard to be bummed out. Even though there's a lot of stuff coming, what for? To bum you out. Right. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. He said, believe in God, believe in me. Now, those are the things that the Bible says about him. So, yeah, but you don't know what's coming. You don't know the IRS, and you don't know about this and the Illuminati. And I mean, you know, all those things come knocking at your door. What do? We believe in him. We believe in God. And we refuse to say there's anything bitter, bigger, better, or more powerful than what we just read. Right? Well, how do we prove it? He just did. And he's going to prove it again because in a couple of chapters, he's going to raise from the dead. Nobody has like a roast in the oven or anything, do they? I mean, Father's Day is barbecue, right? I mean, okay. All right. Is it okay? Because this is a hard, I'm going to be gone for a couple of weeks and I can't, I got to come back and fix this and I won't remember. John chapter 14. It's, I only got 12 verses altogether. We've already done 6, so. John. With addendums, John 14, verse 7, he said, if you'd known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. So he's saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Philip says to him, Lord, okay, good. Talking about the Father. Show us the Father and it's enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I don't speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. He said, I only do those things I see the Father doing. I only say those things I hear the Father saying. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. So if you can't get the theology, get the practicology. Watch what I'm doing. Listen to what I'm saying. See what I'm doing. And you'll be able to understand. And of course, you know what comes after 14? 15. You can't run anything past you guys. See, in 15, John 15, is where he spends a great deal of time talking about abiding. What's abiding? It's you're in him and he's in you. Right? Jesus is talking to him now. He said, this is abiding. I'm in him and he's in me. And so we're going to do a collision course with this coming in the next chapter. So that's why he's warming them up here a little bit. See, you got to get this, guys, because the vine and the branch and all that don't make any sense if you don't understand. So he's telling him, this is what's happening. This is what's going on. And then he says in verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father? This is amplified. And the Father's in me. What I'm telling you, I don't say of my own authority or my own accord. It's the Father who lives continually in me. He does his works. his own miracles, his own deeds of power. I really like the way that sorts it out. So he's in here doing this. How's he doing that? Because I'm in him and he's in me. He's prepping them for how it's going to work when he leaves. Okay? And I don't know how sure they are about all this, but it may not mean anything. And then the big verse that everybody argues about, and we'll stop here. Verse 12, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he himself will be able to do the things that I do, and even greater things than these, because I go to the Father. Wow. And you can get a million different views on this. You're going to have to get mine, but I've read several. And so what you read when you read this passage, it says, hey, how in the world are we going to do greater things than Jesus did? And there's lots of explanations. And I've had people explain this to me a million different times, and mostly with lack of satisfaction on my part. But he says, here's all the stuff that I've done. And guess what? Greater things than these are going to get done by you guys because I'm not here. And it's not so much that he's not here, it's that he's up there. He says, because I go to the Father. So I remember the first time I preached this with great fervor, and I said, oh, greater things will be done because Jesus goes to the Father. If we could just get Jesus to go to the Father. Oh, that's already happened. It's kind of a joke, but do you understand what I'm saying? We can't wait for that to happen. It's already happened. So now I want to do a reverse thing for just a second, because I find this, I like to think about it this way. And I listen to a bunch of guys, and there's some people I respect that say this. They say, you know, okay, if you can't get what I'm saying, believe the works, and believe the works till you get to faith, okay? And then you'll be able to do some stuff that other people will see, and they'll be able to even get to faith, and that's what that means. I could see that like maybe Roman numeral 1, number 8, or something like that. Now, I can see how that could be. But so I looked it up the best way I can. And here's what I want to look at. He says, truly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I do, he'll do, and greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. I looked it up. Moffat says, he will do the very deeds I do. The New Testament in modern English says, he will do the very things I am doing. Knox says, he will be able to do what I do. And Williams says, can himself do the things I'm doing. So I think what he's saying is, you're going to do what I do. Okay, now let's just stop there. What about the greater stuff? Let's just stop right there. He's not talking about anything other than what he's already done. Right? So, well, what's he already done? Well, just in the book of John, changed the water to wine in John 2, cleansed the temple in John 2, had the prophetic conversation with the woman at the well, which ended up with most of the town of Samaria getting saved in John 4, the healing of the royal official's son in John chapter 4, the healing at the pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5, the feeding of the 5,000 in John chapter 6, Jesus walking on the water in John 6, getting in the boat and immediately being at the other side in John chapter 6, the release of the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 6, healing the man born blind in John chapter 9, and raising Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. These are the things I do. So I'm sorry, I read all these other things. There are people that are a lot smarter than me. That's why I read them. But I can't get past that when you look at all these people looking at the original language and coming up with these explanations, and they all come up with, you're going to do what I do. That makes me think we're supposed to do what he does. Huh? Now, does that mean I'm going to walk on water? If it would be necessary to fulfill the purposes of God, yes. But I ain't going out without skis. Because Jesus only did what he heard the Father say and he saw the Father doing. And when he did that, he didn't have any problem because that's what the Lord was saying and doing. Peter jumps out there. He says, come on, Pete, get out. And he gets out and he goes, as soon as he takes his eyes off the Lord, he wishes, I wish I wasn't the rock. They sink so quick. That's pretty good. I hadn't thought about that before. But you didn't see him the next day and saying, you guys go ahead. We'll go nap on the beach. I'll walk over. No, because that's not what the Lord was saying and doing. Are you with me? So I think there are times that we will do exactly some of these things that he's saying, because there'll be in a set of circumstances and there'll be an empowerment that requires that. But it's not like, well, I'm going to go do that now. It's so cool. I pray for that lady that got healed of the plantar fasciitis. I didn't even know it happened. That's how much I had to do with it. Could you pray? Yes. Anointing came, she got healed. Great. But I didn't know it because there were a whole bunch of other people there that day and stuff. I didn't know it, and I hadn't seen her for a long time. Isn't that cool? Okay, so what does that mean? Well, I need to go find people with plantar fasciitis and pray for them. No, I need to be aware of the fact that the Lord might be saying that when he says it. He said it then because he was doing it then. And if he said it again, it's going to happen again. Right? And well, does he have to say that? No, he's... Luke 5:17, the power of the Lord present to perform healing. Just get the power of the Lord present there, he can do anything he wants. Are you with me? So I want you to get this. It looks to me like these things I do, you'll do. What if I just stop there and we don't worry about what the greater things are? Now, I'm in on the greater things. But here, this word can mean magnitude, like more of it. But not the first part. The first part is defined by what he's done. The magnitude is, listen, if you've got 13 guys on the earth, Jesus and 12, preaching the gospel, you're going to get some people touched. But if you've got several million people that are preaching the gospel, you're going to have a result that's greater. Right? So the magnitude is going to be increased. Not necessarily greater in the fervency, but in the breadth and the scope. I'm cool with that, but not in the things that he said I'm doing. There's a conjunction there. And greater things. Okay, so let's get the first part cranked up, and we'll fall right into the greater part. Are you okay with that? So I look at that and I think, okay, but what really is the kicker is that these things you're going to do, but it's not because I'm here doing them with you or even laying hands on you or sending you. It's that I'm going there to pour out the Holy Spirit. So not only are you in him, but he's in you. Holy Spirit had not yet been given. They hadn't been breathed upon. Acts chapter 2 hadn't happened yet. And he said, Holy Spirit's going to get in you guys. You're going to be surprised what happens. Because you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Right? And then what's going to happen? You're going to get in the same spot Jesus did. Now, golly, I'm so sorry. I meant because we got to feed Asher here in a minute. And at my house, it's Father's Day today because I'm going to be. Anyway. But these things that Jesus is doing, they know because they've been with him. But John says, if we wrote down everything he did, there's not enough books. Hello? So, something could happen that's marvelous, and you can't, that's unbiblical. No, it just may be non-biblical. Unbiblical means it denies or defies something that's in the scripture. Non-biblical just means it ain't in there. Well, there's a bunch of stuff he did that's not in there. Now, can't that open the door for weirdos? I think that door's wide open now. Sorry. Are you with me? But if it feels like something he would say and looks like something he would be doing, then, right? And it's always subject to what the scriptures say. So people, well, you don't know. People might do weird things. Yeah, and they might refuse to do weird things that they need to do. You know, spitting on somebody's eye is a weird thing. Don't you do that. Because I'll say, Jesus did not tell you to do that. But he did tell. God did tell Jesus to do it. Hello? See, he's perfect, so I trust him. But you understand what I'm saying? We don't have to go out and be, well, we'll be weird because Pastor John said there's stuff in there you can't define. Well, you were weird before I said that. I just want to open the door. The church needs to be alive with the life of God in every possible fashion that he wants us to be alive in the life of God. And we, in total submission to the Holy Spirit and in total obedience to what we understand of the Bible. Okay? We're not given to overexpression at this point. We're not doing too much stuff is what I'm trying to say. Are you with me? So I don't want you to get this misunderstand. I'm not saying the greater things don't exist. I'm saying it's more secure to go by the things he said, these very things I do, we know what they are. And we could say, Lord, I'm open. I was complaining to him one day. Imagine that. What, Lord, I haven't seen anybody get up out of a wheelchair. And he said, how many people you pray for in a wheelchair? I said, well, several. I didn't have a number. And essentially what he was saying, have I commanded you to go pray for someone in a wheelchair? I said, well, I'll know. I prayed for some people in wheelchairs because there they were, you know. He said, and I thought, oh, I get it. I get it. So what you're telling me, when you're saying it to me and it's what you're saying and doing and I cooperate with you, then I'm going to get the result you get. This is a long time ago, but I'm thinking, okay. But see, I'd like to have that result today. Peter says, I want to go now. It's the same thing. If someone was wheeled in a wheelchair and they were willing for us to pray for them today, would we pray for them? Absolutely. And, you know, because I might stumble into the will of God. Get out of my way. I'll try it. But I'm not going to tell that person, God has told me you're going to get healed if I pray. I'll only say that if I've heard him say it. I am not going to create a false expectation. And so, but let's help their faith. Jesus does stuff like this. So let's pray. Well, what if it doesn't happen? We'll do it again. Right? And so I just think the church, ours, everybody else's that I know. Gosh, I've ruined your day, so give me 2 minutes. I could go through these things and talk about the greater things. So don't get mad at me. But I got kind of proof of this stuff. The greater things are happening all over the world, not so much here. Huh? Because the church is all over the world. Now, I give you books of all sorts of countries with all sorts of amazing things happening, not as many happening here. So someone would be able to say then, well, those greater things are happening. There's incredible things happening. But we don't see it as much here. I'm not anti-American or anything. I'm just telling the truth. It seems like there seems to be more supernatural phenomena in other parts of the world than here. The part is the scrutiny and the half the time people wouldn't believe it if you did it anyway. You know what I mean? And you got to come up with every medical record and all that kind of stuff. But there are things happening in the world that you could point to that says, that's pretty good. This might be that. We'll go back to this side of the verse. These things that I do. I want you to be messed up by that a little bit. And pray about that. What are we supposed to do? What's our response? Lord, I can go pray for a million people, and without the anointing, nobody's going to get healed. If your power and presence doesn't show up, I'm going to bless them by caring about them, but they're probably not going to get well. Power and the presence of the Lord show up, and you don't even have to say anything. I mean, you may not even need to touch them. They just may need to be in the presence of the Lord. Right? I just think, based on John chapter 14, there's the possibility of a different kind of outcome than we might have been getting. More of the things like he did. That's kind of a challenge, isn't it? See, I'm not mad. I'm not upset. I'm actually encouraged. that he would say, oh, all this stuff I did because of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give that to you. I mean, he has already kind of answered our prayer in that regard. So, Holy Spirit, we just present ourselves to you. Jesus, you said these things that you do, those who are your disciples would do. Makes me wonder if the love in John 13, 34, and 35 has anything to do with the power and the miracles in John 14, verse 12. Makes me wonder if the next verse, which says, hey, you can pray in my name, I'll do anything you ask in my name. Wow, there's really a real sandwich here. And Lord, I pray you would just allow us to think on these things, to make room for you to advance us in these things, that we would make room for the fulfillment of this word. And so we just give you these verses we've looked at today in John chapter 14. Say, Lord, would you watch over your word in order to perform it?
Yes, Lord.
We want to be those who know you, love you, follow you, and see the glory that is to be your church. Lord, thank you that even in the face of things we might totally not understand, you say, don't let your heart stay in trouble. Believe in me. Do not allow your heart to stay troubled. Questioned maybe, aroused maybe, but not troubled. I don't think, Lord, you'd be quickening these things to us if you didn't have a desire to do something about it. So, your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done. Right here on this little patch of the earth, as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. You guys need to go. Bless you.